a man that is simple perfection. There's nothing that's harder to find. Someone to lead us, protect us and feed us, and help us to make up our minds. We need a man that's sophisticated, quiet and strong and well educated. Where to go? What to do? Could it be somebody super like you?
Well, hello, my brothers and sisters. We are in the midst of a holy season, with Easter just around the corner and a brand new pope getting situated in the Vatican, which means on Monday we'll probably be hungover from too many peeps and chocolate pontiffs. But while piety is all well and good, it rarely makes a good song. In fact, looking back, there's a much richer history of skeptics, heretics, and provocateurs in rock music, and today I'm choosing to celebrate them. I'm not advocating for any particular faith or absence thereof, mind you, just some good old-fashioned musical blasphemy. I am your holy host, Courageous Horageous, and you are listening to Metal Punch Radio, the only show that throws the horns in the air and waves them like I just don't care. So all you heretics, pagans, heathens, and nonconformists, bow your damned heads and beg for forgiveness. Or just toss the horns in the air and rock out. Either way.
We'll be right back.
Giordano Bruno, one of the world's forgotten philosophers, was born in 1548 in a little town named Nola, right next to the big volcano Vesuvius. At 13, he was hanging out at the monastery at St. Domenico, where Thomas Aquinas had lived and taught, and within a few years he became a Dominican priest. He had one big problem, though, that being he asked too many questions. And speculation in the 16th century was just not cool, especially with the Inquisition going on. So he leaves town, ends up getting into all sorts of philosophical adventures, and writes like 20-something books. Along the way, he decides Christianity is entirely irrational and has no scientific basis. See, folks, this is where you start getting the torches ready. In 16th century thought, Aristotle was still king. He was the only scientific-type philosopher everyone could agree with, because he had the earth as the center of the universe. And so did the church, you see. Well, Bruno, he starts thinking about an infinite universe, full of worlds, and the earth just being a spinning ball in the middle of it. Then he starts thinking how man not only has the right to think, but the obligation to think, to question, to dream. And then he went on to write that matter was alive. It could not be destroyed, that all life was eternal. It just changed forms. All very radical ideas for the times. But destiny, as it does, came a-calling. He was hired as a private teacher to a patrician in Venice. Well, this dude doesn't jive with what Bruno's preaching and rats him out to the church. They throw him in jail for 7 years, torture him, and give him a chance to recant. Or else he's gonna burn. And not in some theoretical afterlife sense. Now, Galileo would take up the same cause of a heliocentric solar system some 30 years later. But they didn't burn him. They just banned his book for like 200 years. But Bruno, they condemned for blasphemy, heresy, immoral conduct, and, you know, just basically thinking wrong. He got off his knees as his sentence was read and said, "Perhaps you, my judges, pronounce this sentence against me with greater fear than I receive it." Pretty badass. In 1582, he wrote a play called The Candler, in which he said, "Behold, in this candle, born by this candler, to whom I give birth, that we shall clarify certain shadows of ideas, and I need not instruct you of my belief. Time gives all and takes all away. Everything changes, but nothing perishes. One is only immutable, eternal, and ever endures. One in the same with itself. With this philosophy, my spirit grows, my mind expands. However obscure the night may be, I await the daybreak, and they who dwell in day look for night. Rejoice, therefore, and keep whole if you can, and return love for love." They bound his tongue with a gag so he could not utter his evil words. Stripped him naked, dragged him out to the town square, the Campo di Fiori in Rome, and burned him at the stake. This happened 2 days before Copernicus's birthday, which is somewhat ironic since it's Bruno's belief in Copernicus's theory of the solar system that got him lit up in the first place. Now, it's only taken the Catholic Church a mere 400 years to apologize for the mistake and what they had done, you know. Son of a bitch, the guy was right, who knew, como se dice, whoops.
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 6 weeks since my last confession.
Go on, my son.
Father, I'd like to confess a sin I thought I could live with, but it's becoming a problem.
An impure act?
Something much worse.
Really?
Father, I entered and typically won an inter-borough essay contest. I accepted a nominal cash prize, and the article was published in a community paper.
Big deal,
my son.
Father, I failed to footnote some of my sources.
Get to this sin, please.
Plagiarism, Father.
Alone or with someone else? With a girl?
I did it myself.
Yes, so?
Father, if this is discovered, it could someday keep me out of Harvard. And Father, I was conceived to go to Harvard.
All right, you are forgiven. Do you have any other good stuff? Impure thoughts, desires, fantasies?
No, Father.
What? What kind of a faggot are you anyway? Dominus vobiscum, shithead. You're gonna recite one Our Father, one Hail Mary, and you're gonna help your buddy, Ed Rooney, get passing grades. Or you could kiss off Harvard, pal.
There is no God.
Yeah.
Now, what's going on with you?
Nothing.
You know, that no God shit. That upset your mother very much.
It's not no God. It's just God is dead.
Who said that?
Nietzsche. He's a 19th century philosopher from Germany. Anyway, that's why I'm not getting confirmed.
Enough with that shit, all right? Your confirmation's coming up this weekend, and you are getting confirmed.
That sucks my nut.
Hey, you got a lot of balls, you know that? You go to Catholic school, and your mother wants it.
Yeah, what does she know?
She knows that even if God is dead, you're still gonna kiss his ass.
That troublemaker Nietzsche at it again. The concept of God being dead has been around for a very long time, but most notably and perhaps profoundly in 1882 when Friedrich Nietzsche's book, The Gay Science, was released, and printed inside were the words, God is dead. Of course, his take was more a figurative slant, not a literal dead God, but rather a European society's lesser need and reliance on God. It's these type of philosophical / theological debates that inspired Time magazine. Is God Dead? Was an April 8, 1966 cover story for the news magazine. A previous article from October 1965 had investigated a trend among 1960s theologians to write God out of the field of theology. The 1966 article looked in greater depth at the problems facing modern theologians in making God relevant to an increasingly secular society. Modern science had eliminated the need for religion to explain the natural world, and God took up less and less space in people's daily lives. The ideas of various scholars were brought in, including the application of contemporary philosophy to the field of theology and a more personal, individual approach to religion. The issue drew heavy criticism both from the broader public and from clergymen. Most of the criticism was directed at the provocative magazine cover rather than the content of the article. The cover, all black with the words, "Is God Dead?" in large red text, marked the first time in the magazine's history that text with no accompanying image was used. In 2008, the Los Angeles Times named the "Is God Dead?" issue among the 10 magazine covers that shook the world. This very same magazine can be seen as a prop 2 years later in Rosemary's Baby. There has also been a good deal of debate as to whether or not the New York Times declared God dead. Most of the hoopla stemming from the Elton John song Leave On, where the lyric, "When the New York Times said God is dead," can be heard. Many debate back and forth, and there has been little or no cooperation from either Elton or the Times. Some say yes, many say no. Sadly enough, all it took was an online subscription to the New York Times and a few minutes by your humble narrator to uncover this 1966 article, "Religion: God is Dead, Debate Widens." The clearest thing about the small but much publicized God is Dead movement in Protestant theology is its catchy, provocative title. After that, all is subtlety. The specialized technical language of the academy, professional obtruseness, and lay bafflement. And the article goes on, but you get the idea. So yes, the Times had an article with the words God is dead, but it wasn't a declaration as some would have you believe. And of course, with all these magazine covers and Times articles fresh in the public's mind, perhaps the most egregious and blasphemous statement of all was published in August 1966. The teen magazine Datebook printed a controversial remark from John Lennon, who said, that Christianity was in decline and that the Beatles had become more popular than Jesus Christ. This did not sit well with many in the southern United States. Vociferous protests broke out, records were burned, press conferences were canceled, and threats were made. So much so that the band's manager, Brian Epstein, considered canceling their U.S. tour. So, a much heated and sensitive debate, to be sure, but a rather silly one, to be quite honest. As alluded to in that hilarious Kids in the Hall sketch, first you must prove God ever existed. Then it becomes a matter of habeas corpus, let's say, produce the body, which ain't gonna happen. So to go back to the originator of all this hubbub, Nietzsche, and apply his philosophy of not a literal death, but a spiritual one, and that God is dead, and we killed him. Well, my friends, that would be blasphemy writ in full.
God will never end. Through their reach, he's gone across three walls. What did I ever see? He tried to say that once. I think our son. The bastards now gone and laughed at what they've done. You gave rain from the nation. Ever heard this cry? Blood born from the earth. She suffered as she died. Frosties in the still hand. You cast rain from the dive. Give balls to the hounds that bring us to life wide.
skies. The skies are blazing too, the sorrow burning too. In battle and in sin, the souls of God, God hopes to win. You can do. Heaven's on fire, when you die, you'll go there too. If God is so almighty, then why is he enslaved? In heaven's hell by Satan, the universe is slain. We'll be right back.
In 1998, a church in Italy was outed as the backdrop for a porn film called Il Confessionale, aka The Confessional Box, starring popular Italian porn goddess Monica Roccaforte. A God-fearing bloke who lived near the 13th century church of San Vincenzo downloaded the XXX film, and either before or after using it as inspiration, recognized his beloved house of worship on display and called the police. In the scene in question, 27-year-old Roccaforte, who is by no means a stranger to the popular subgenre of Italian porn that mixes religion and hardcore sex, gets her behind reamed out by a priest played by Joey Calzone. Prosecutors investigated the possibility of bringing blasphemy charges against the producers of the XXX film, a charge not uncommon in Italy, a country where church and state are not nearly as far separated as they are in many other developed nations. As the story broke, members of the Italian church were visibly shaken and demanded answers. Obviously, the sinful pornographers didn't realize that only pedophilic priests are allowed to bugger on church property. The parish priest at the time, one Father Artemio De Vincenzis, told reporters that he had handed over the keys to the owner of a restaurant next door to the church, who in turn had loaned the space to a crew looking to film a wedding scene. The softcore version of this genre, better known to Eurotrash movie nerds as nunsploitation, has a grand and rich tradition dating back to the late 60s, populated by mischievous lesbian nuns who spend most of their time getting defiled by demons and devils. Many of the nuns in trashy classics like Flavia the Heretic, Malabimba the Malicious Whore, and Images in a Convent are prisoners in their own belief structure, the very religion that gives them spirituality in turn perverts them and makes them either submissive masochists or violently and insanely sadistic. So in the light of the unholy union, and to keep hundreds of marriages carried out on the holy property in the central region of Abruzzo in the previous 5 years from being deemed invalid, the Bishop of Marcy had to reconsecrate the church itself and all services, weddings, christenings, etc., held in San Vincenzo's since the filming of the scene. Now that, my friends, is what I call having the bejesus fucked out of you.
Can't live without. Peace.
We know you're looking for us, but now we have to go. Okay, bangers and bangettes. Just like all good things, so too must this come to an end. Hope you enjoyed all the heretical haranguing as much as I did. Thanks for stopping by and giving Metal Punch a listen. And before I go, I know what you're thinking. Courageous, what the fuck you doing having a show on blasphemy and not inviting Slayer to the party? Fear not, ye heathens. But I am nothing if not a man of fair play, and since we've all been having some fun at the big guy's expense, I think an holy F you only apropos. You don't like me? Or maybe I don't like you. So long, everybody.
Anyone ever seen such a rush of pure hypocrisy out in like you. Do you like me?